Welcome to our morning show today on WRC Radio. We are here to talk history, one of my favorite subjects. And we have some history from right here in our area, from Waniwok. We're going to talk about the Hobo Hotel Restoration. We have members of the Waniwok Lions, Julie Ott, Richard Kilmer, and Alicia Cosnahan are all here to talk about the restoration. Also, a big weekend coming up here, Julie. I'm guessing the planning's been going on for a long time, but here we are. This Saturday is a big day, isn't it?
This Saturday is the day, August 15th. We're teaming up with the farmers market folks that typically are there every Saturday. And the event starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, goes to about 2. The actual raising of the Hobo Hotel will start around 10 o'clock. Not sure how long that'll take, but a group of men and women from the heritage community. We've hired them to do the work on it, the restoration pieces, and they came to us and said, how about if we actually do the old-fashioned lifting of the building, the structure, and move it down the street? And I'm like, wow, that'd be pretty cool. So there's going to be about 50 to 60 persons that physically lift it. It'll be all braced up, and you're going to have a dry run, I think, today or tomorrow to make sure it's going to work, and walk it about 150 yards maybe, down the same street and place it on foundation that they've already started with there along Washington Street, which is County Double F, and the 400 bike trail. So it can be seen right from Highway 33 and the bike trail, and hopefully bring people into the village.
Now, you wonder how this is physically possible to actually get this done, but you've got to figure it out, it sounds like.
The Amish do it. Yeah. One of the workers is an ex-Amish person, and they've moved these buildings before where he was before. So it was his idea, John Lambright, was his idea to do this, and we were all like, oh, that sounds really cool. That would be a really good, even a good fundraising event, because it's, you know, not cheap moving this building and restoring the chimney and moving it out of the floodplain, because it was damaged so bad in the floods that it was going to be torn down. But we did get a grant from Juneau County to fix the wall that was damaged, and it was a Love Your Block grant. So each town in the county got a grant, and we used part of our money to help start to restore this. And then if another flood comes, all that work's going to go to waste, so we're moving it out of the floodplain.
Can you give us a little background on the Hobo Hotel for those of us that didn't grow up around Waniwok, Richard?
Right. Okay, so Waniwok was on the 400 line. The 400 line from Chicago to Minneapolis were the midpoint, 200 miles from Chicago, 200 miles from Minneapolis, and the Chicago Northwestern trains went through there. But during the Depression, 25% of the population was without work. I mean, there were hobos before, but there were all these homeless people traveling the rails. And Waniwok decided, oh, we need to do something for these people, because every family was affected. If 25% of the population was out work, you know that most families had family members who were without work. So they understood the plight of these people. So they turned this shed into, it used to be the town jail, into a place for them to stay, put in bunk beds, a stove, and provided food for them, like 2 loaves of bread. And I mean, there was a whole list of the stuff that they would bring down there, coffee, potatoes. The hobos could get off, they could wash their clothes on this, you know, heat water and wash their clothes, they could have a good meal. And it was really a very popular place for these people to stop. But then after the Depression was over, people didn't want a memory of this, so most of these places were torn down. I think there's one other one that we know of in Michigan that still stands. There's carvings in there from the hobos, and so it's kind of an important part of history.
Why did Waniwok choose to save the hotel or not tear it down?
Well, they used it as a shed. You know, they stored stuff in there. So, and it was just kind of, you know, there's these old sheds around everywhere. So it was kind of a nondescript building. People are like, oh, can I stay at the Hobo Hotel? And I'm like, it's a shack, you know. So it's not a very beautiful building, because it was, you know, for homeless people to stay in.
Yeah. But again, applaud the community, Julie, because you know, not a lot of communities probably open their arms to people that were, you know, hobos or traveling the rails, right?
Right. The community back then and still is today, very generous and working together to help people. I mean, it's a not just our Lions Club, but it's a development corporation and the Legion group that we have doing things all the time that a lot of us wear different hats, but we're all together and we do things for the community. And our logo is obviously with the Lions we serve. So that's part of our service to our community.
And Alicia, this has got to be exciting for you as you look at, you know, the way your community is stepping forward to preserve the past, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it wasn't just a few years ago that the village was actually still using it as a shed. Like, you know, we had benches stored in it. So when we were able to get this grant and to repaint the outside, make a new wall for that one wall that we had gotten damaged in the flood, it actually floated away, the wall did, and a farmer found it and brought it back to us. And once we got the wall back, we were actually able to save about 13 carvings off of that wall by cutting them out of the old wood and preserving them too. And like Richard said, the entire inside of the building is completely covered with carvings or drawings or paragraphs written, and their names like Ohio Bob or Windy Bill or Philadelphia Eddie, Spark Plug. I mean, it's really, really unique and really special. We invited some experts out from Seattle to come down. They work with the Historical Graffiti Project, and they travel all over the United States documenting hobo graffiti. And when they came here and saw the Hobo Hotel, I mean, they said it was like a dream, like something on their bucket list that they thought they would never actually find an intact, like, hobo hotel like this. So it really, I mean, it's really almost a home to American graffiti, too. You know, the idea of picking a nickname, leaving like where you came from and where you're going, leaving the dates, you know, ours are all dated with 1929, 1931, 1932. And even just the idea of like some of them are like, you know, it's not just somebody carved Bob into the wall. Some of them are actually fonts that the people like obviously seriously worked on to create like, you know, a very unique looking name and stuff. Or just the idea of having things like arrows pointing to your name to draw attention and stuff. All those things are in this hotel. And those are all aspects of graffiti still used today. So it's just really, really interesting.
Did I see there was a Jay Dillinger? I mean, it wasn't.
Yes.
Was it the John Dillinger or?
Well, so we've had people come, you know, we don't have anybody that can say that it's for sure John Dillinger, but we do know that it was carved back in that time. It's not like some kid came and carved it in the 80s. It was carved back then. We do know he was traveling on the railroads in those areas back then. And, you know, if you were, you know, a bank robber traveling on the railroads, I don't think you'd get a hotel room on Main Street. I think you would probably find something like a hobo hotel to kind of hide out in, you know? So
if you see pictures of his signature, it is the same exact signature as that you would look up online, John Dillinger's signature.
We have found his driver's license paperwork and the writing of his name. When you look at it and then look at the wall, it almost gives you goosebumps how similar it is.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Gives me goosebumps as you described it. That's really cool. And then, you know, as you look at it, it was open during the Depression. Did it close shortly after the Depression ended, Richard?
I think it probably did and just became a city shed, basically. Mm-hmm. They took the bunk beds out and they used it for storage, mostly.
Correct.
Are you guys putting some of that stuff back into the hotel then eventually? Is that the goal?
We are putting some. We fixed the windows. We fixed the wall. We painted it. Alicia painted it. Alicia was, when I started working on this, it's like, she is the artist, and she's like, oh, I want to help. I'm like, I hate painting, and Alicia loves painting. So here she is down there painting the new wall, and and other people have been involved. Several of the fire department people are the ones that went out into the swamp and found the wall and brought it back. And so they saved all those carvings by bringing it back. I mean, the wall wasn't savable, but so the community's been involved in it, and I don't think most of the community knew what a treasure we had here.
And up to this move, so for I'd say like the last 7 months or so, it was restored back to the most like it was back then. So we did put 6 beds back in. We put an old stove back in. We put an old table and chairs, old pots and pans and utensils, everything that we had read that we knew was in there, we did put back in. However, just right now, because of the move, we've removed it all. But once it's in its new place, that'll all go right back in. And hopefully, this will be like a destination place that people will come and visit. And yeah, when you go into it, I think you will very easily be able to just imagine what it would have been like.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what is the plan then, Julie, for the future? Is it going to be open all the time? Are there going to be special hours? Or how do you look at it?
Hopefully it'll be open during the seasonal months, during the summer, during farmers market times on weekends. With Alicia might have some classes down there because it'll be closer to the main street. Christmas time, we'll hopefully do another special Christmas decorating down there and light it up, because one of the things from the Love Your Block grant, we are going to have power in there, so we'll be able to. That's been paid for. It's not obviously hooked up yet, so there's a lot of things left to do once we get it put in the permanent location. There's still a lot of work to be done, so it's an ongoing legacy project for the Lions Group and anybody else that wants to.
And we hope to have a celebration, like a Hobo Day celebration, where kids can dress up like hobos, and
it'd be awesome.
We'll maybe serve some kind of a hobo stew, or like an event maybe once a year. So it's kind of like a destination spot. There is still a hobo organization. The King of the Hobos is coming next week to dedicate the building, and he's got a plaque for us that he's going to put in. He wrote a song about Waniwok. His name is Luther Jett, and he's been elected King of the Hobos 2 or 3 times. So it's amazing that there still is a hobo organization. And actually, he can't come to the move because they're having their annual convention that weekend in Iowa.
Okay. But he'll be here next week. So that's really cool. Yeah. So you want people to come out this weekend, Julie?
Yeah, absolutely.
And watch this. So what's the time frame coming up on Saturday then?
Well, the start of the move, hopefully, is going to be at 10 a.m. where the guys pick it up and start trucking it down the road there. We'll have some traffic direction. We have a lot of people from our Lions Group and the fire department will help with parking and traffic and so forth. So it's all taking place right around 10 a.m. on Washington Street and Double F by the Village Hall Fire Station. Multiple news crews hopefully will be there, both radio and TV. We're going to do a live feed from our Chamber of Commerce. We'll be on their website there or the Facebook page. We have the Knights of Columbus are coming to do a food stand. They're doing their world-famous brats and hot dogs. Heritage Market, folks are going to do their treats and beverages. We have a very nice market in town that they're going to come over and put a stand up down at the location. We've got many other folks that'll come and do their specialty treats and cookies and other vendings that they do, crafts, just different things. I think we have probably a dozen or more vendors at this point. If there is inclement weather, we hope to maybe move it into the fire station, which is real close by. We have to make some arrangements yet, but we're still praying that it's going to be a great day.
People know the bike trail out there, Richard. A lot of people will be able to see it now as they head down the trail.
Right,
too,
they can stop right because we'll have signage there and a little explanation of what it is. And it'll be just just off of the right of way of the bike trail, so it'll be very, very visible now.
Waniwok is very unique. Is there a spot where you can see like all 4 counties that surround
Not
you?
Not quite. They all 4 counties almost come together. Waniwok is like I can look out my window and I can see Sauk County, and the other way is Vernon, and Richland's not very far that way, and Monroe isn't very, so it's a really unique corner. So it's always, people have always kind of been like, which county do we connect? It's like we do, a lot of people really connect with Sauk, because that's a huge part of it, because it just follows the border right there. And a lot of people connect with Vernon. What's the end? Say that again, Julie.
The midpoint of the Driftless area.
Right. On the, so, yeah, it's a unique place. It was the first county park in the state of Wisconsin is in Waniwok. It's a spring that Alicia has painted a beautiful original sign there. It used to be... Waniwok is one of the original circuses in Waniwok, was started in Waniwok. Belle Case La Follette was born in Waniwok, fighting Bob La Follette's wife, who was a very famous woman in her own right. So yeah, it's a very neat little town.
I hope people that are listening that play our Triviathon game on WRCO are marking some of these things down, because these are good trivia questions. Alicia, as you look at it, what else do you look at as far as Waniwok and its uniqueness?
Well, like Richard said, we are home to one of the earliest circuses in Wisconsin. I'm not sure if a lot of people know, but Wisconsin is actually, like, one of its nicknames is Mother of Circuses. So over 100 small circuses began in Wisconsin, but we're home to one of the earliest, and that's the Doad Fisk Great Combined Railroad Show. Doad Fisk, the Fisk family was a huge family that donated a lot of land and did a lot of things, but Doad Fisk started with the dog and pony show, but then grew his circus large enough that it was a 25 train car circus that went all over the United States. We're home to the most educated horse in the world, Bobby. That was his trick horse that he would go around with. He could tell time, he could work a cash register and give you change. He could dance really well. We're also home to a spiritualist camp that began in the late 1800s and is still running to this day. It's open every summer. You can go up there and experience it. They have a hotel, a gift shop, and a whole place up there. 32 miniature homes in a circle, a tabernacle in the center. It's very, very unique and different and very different.
Are there many of those left? Kill. I mean, there aren't too many left, are there?
I don't believe that there's many still working spiritualist camps to this day. Yeah, and what they were saying is, like, the kids or people in town used to call it Spook Hill up at the top, because it's literally, like, at the top of our village, just this area dedicated to the camp. But I mean, Waniwok, I think it's the people that are there. I think we have a lot of public art now. We have a couple of murals. I mean, we have maybe 5 or 6 murals now in the village. We've got sculptures along the bike trail. You know, you can hear live music in the summer times, like 4 nights a week in Waniwok. We have free music on the lawns on Monday at the library, and then just in town alone between the different venues. I think that's unbelievable. I feel like I live in a mini Austin, Texas, like, mm-hmm. with how much I can go out and just listen to live music. It's just a really, really, really vibrant town full of really unique people and special things, so... Yeah,
and they talked about your painting. So you do some classes. You're planning to maybe do some at the Hobo Hotel then.
Yeah. So Waniwok is actually, we're in the process of opening our own historical museum and community art center. So once that is finished, we're redoing windows and, you know, lighting and ceilings and floors and stuff now. But once that's done, we'll be running all kinds of art classes out of the Waniwok Community Art Center. But as of now, you know, we run art classes out of the library. I teach with a lot of homeschoolers through the library systems. And on the weekends at the farmers market, I have a kids zone every weekend at the farmers market. And that always includes projects and painting and soccer and double dutch jump roping and things like that. Yeah, we're going to have the Zucchini 500 coming up.
Zucchini 500.
So in the beginning of the summer, we planted zucchini with kids at the Kids Zone. Richard runs the Wanniwaukee Community Garden, which is a free garden. If you don't have a garden space at your house, you can come and get a plot at our community garden. So we planted the zucchini seeds at the beginning of the summer. They're growing, and then we're going to harvest them, carve them, paint them, decorate them, and then we're going to have a race where we race the zucchinis.
Down the river? Or
no, down a track that we've built.
Yeah. So you got to have wheels on them?
We had wheels.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the Baraboo River, actually. The circus actually used to own my farm, and they mortgaged my farm one night to buy an elephant, and they made enough money the next day in sales to pay off the mortgage. So it's a very, it's a unique little town.
It really is. It sounds like it's a best kept secret because
we have these beautiful rock formations that are over 200 feet over the river. You can look down on the river. It's almost like a little Wisconsin Dells in that way with all the rock formations around the town.
Yeah. And a lot of businesses, still around downtown.
Right. Well, Rayovac had a big plant there. And when that closed, that was really, the town almost shut down because there were so many, they employed people from the whole area. But it's really seeing a rebirth now, thanks to Julie and the Alicia has been really helpful to bring things back up. We have new businesses in town. We have a Corkscrew Wine Bar, which is very popular on the weekend with live music, and a very nice restaurant there. It's definitely the town has... And luckily, so many of these small towns, the buildings have burned, but Wanniwaukee's Main Street is pretty much intact. We had a huge fire in the late 1800s that burned quite a bit of the town, but it was rebuilt back up. But almost all of the original buildings are still there from the 1800s.
Yeah, very nice downtown.
I think we're one of the few villages that still has, our consecutive buildings in a row still. Like a lot of towns, there is like a gap where there's just a building that was there and it's totally gone, and we have consecutive buildings that still go together with no gaps. I think that is something that's a little special about it too. I think the businesses in our town are lovely. A Farm and Hearth is a restaurant there, which he's talking about. That's one of the best restaurants I've ever eaten at in my life. It is so good. Only all the food that they make or cook with there come from local farmers from all around. And you can just sit there and read the names of, the people of where they got what and where they live. The Heritage Market opened up a grocery store. That's been really, really nice for our village. Yeah, we've got, a couple of restaurants and bars. We've got hair salon. We've got a lot. So, yeah.
And Wanniwaukee Center School District. We get there quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several games.
Quite a few. And I think they're having an upsurge in students at the Wanniwaukee Center School. So, they have a great school district. It's kind of a forgotten part of the county. So, Juneau County is such a small, it's in the far southwestern corner of the county. It's like almost in Sauk County.
Yeah. Beautiful countryside. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about Wanniwaukee today and the upcoming move of the Hobo Hotel when the morning show continues. You can be a part of Wanniwaukee history this weekend, the Hobo Hotel restoration. They're going to be moving the hotel, and I think it's going to be a great thing for us just to stand and watch. I don't plan to lift anything, Richard, but...
No, I don't think the Heritage people want... they have their insurance to cover their people who are moving it, so the other people really can't join in, but it should be quite a fun project. It reminds you of Amish barn movings.
Mm-hmm. Tell us why it's called the Hoover Hotel, or why it was.
Right. During the Depression, President Hoover was the president, and they blamed the Depression on him. So all of the hobo camps were called Hoover camps, or they were all named after him as kind of a pun to blame him for the Depression. So that's why it's called the Hoover Hotel or the Hobo Hotel, both.
And there'll be signage up, I guess, eventually to kind of
drive people. There is a sign there now, but we'll probably have more. And the King of the Hobos is coming next week, and he's going to dedicate it. And he has a plaque for us and all of that.
Have you heard the Wonewoc song yet? Has he?
No, he mailed me a copy, but I haven't gotten it yet. So hopefully it'll be here by Saturday. He would be here for the moving, but the hobo, the National Hobo Convention is in Iowa that weekend, so he has to be there because he's the King of the Hobos. But I didn't even know there were still Kings of the Hobos, but they elected him again last year as King of the Hobos.
So he'll be in Iowa, then he'll just come up afterwards.
He'll come up after he gets in Iowa, right. And he has a plaque, and he wrote a song about Wonewoc. He talked to the town historian, Daryl, and got a bunch of stuff about the town. And so I'm curious to hear the song.
Yeah, we are curious. Daryl Hanel, he's done a lot as far as history and finding some of its roots, hasn't he, Alicia?
Yes, I'd say Daryl's dedicated probably the last 30 years of his life to researching, documenting, getting stories from people before they've passed. He has an entire section at the Wonewoc Library of local history, different binders all about different subjects. He's written a few books. He's written quite a few papers on things. So one of the papers he has written is one about the Hoover Hotel, which we have printed, and we'll have those that day at the move.
Yeah, there's a picture right of on your pamphlet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you get a good shot of it. You're going to have a lot of things for kids to do on Saturday too, aren't you?
Yes. So this weekend with the Kids Zone. Every weekend we have Kids Zone at the market, but this week it'll be completely geared around the idea of the hobo in the hotel. So we'll be making pine needle soda with Andy Ringquist, a local person who knows a lot about nature and the plants and the trees. You'll be able to build your own bindle. And the bindle is kind of like that pack on the stick that a lot of people can visualize when they think of a hobo. And the kids will get their own sticks. They'll get their own bandanas. They'll get things to put in them like harmonicas and pencils and different things. So we also have face painting. So hopefully you'll come out. You'll have a good time and learn a lot about the history of hobo and kind of about their life. You can learn about the hobo language. They had like a language that they kind of used amongst each other with that were symbols. They could tell you like, you know, a nice lady lives here. She gives hot meals, or a mean, you know, person lives here. Don't stop. Or, you know, mean dogs here, run, things like that. And they used to leave these little markings to each other to let each other know stuff. So you can learn things like the hobo language when you come. Different things like that.
Who knew that?
Pick your own hobo nickname.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not sure what mine would be. lots of vendors there as well, Julie, on Saturday, I think,
yes.
In terms of things that people can see and do and eat and enjoy, right?
Yep. Food, crafts, music, stuff like Alicia's talked about, stuff for the kids. Also, our fundraiser booth will be raising money still, ongoing. We have a GoFundMe page on the Art Museum Facebook site and also the Chamber of Commerce site. We also have some banners and posters around town with a QR code on them to donate.
Yes, we do need money. I mean, moving the chimney alone costs $8,000. So, I mean, we are in search of funds to help pay for the move and the restoration of the Art Center.
Correct. So the story about the chimney itself, there was a chimney right in the center of the building, and a local person also was able to come and help us out with that. He took it out brick by brick from the top, going down into it, brick by brick, preserving it, took it to his location of his shop, cleaned these bricks up. Some of them were not in great shape, obviously, so he found a matching brick, the colors and everything, in Chicago. Drove down to Chicago, brought the bricks back up, so they're ready to go when we get the structure back up, and he's going to put that chimney back in there. And, it'll be pretty cool. It'd be the same as it was, and if you can envision what it was then and the stuff we're putting into it now, We've even had, like Richard said, we've even had people that really do want to stay in one of these bunk beds, you know, overnight or something. There's a bicyclist, a friend of mine from Madison that wants to stay there. And I said, well, bring your own, your roll, because we're not going to provide any mattress for you. So he might actually do that. He's that kind of guy. He's an outdoorsy kind of guy.
Sure. So. You might have found something that...
We might have found another business.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's awesome. What are some other pet projects for the Oneiwok Lions, then, other than this one?
Oh, my goodness. We've been in existence since 2014, so we just celebrated our 10-year a little bit ago. And actually, our new pins that Alicia designed have the hobo tourists on our logos, our pins. And we've done a lot of projects. The Fairydale project, we did a in 2017 built a gazebo out there, so that's right off the bike trail too. And we've had people actually come out and have weddings there at the gazebo. It's just a nice place to stop. There's a fresh water right there out of a stream,
artesian
well, right. Stream. Thank you. People stop there daily. I mean, probably dozens daily to stop there for water.
Hundreds of people a week get water.
Yep. So we got another grant for that to also run power from the village to that location. So there's lighting, you know, there's dusk to dawn lighting in that little gazebo as well. We've done just a lot of projects for the communities around us. The little book libraries, the little food pantries.
Oh, cleaning the trail.
Clean the trail every year from one end to the other. We've adopted the 400 bike trail between the high school and the Wayside Park.
Every year we do on the fall festival.
Fall festival is every year in October. This year it's October 10th, held at the school each year. Lots of raffles and vendors and stuff for the kids. Lego races for the kids. They love that. So,
well, you really stay active.
We're a very active group, and we've been very privileged enough to we must be doing something right, because our numbers are gaining. We're getting more members all the time.
We raise money for the schools. We raise money for people who, if they have a house fire, if they have an accident, people with cancer who have to, we give them gift cards for gas because they have to go in for treatment. So there's lots of other community
things.
That's
part of our relief fund. So our annual fundraiser, which is the Fall Festival, we have a separate account for the relief fund for people that are going through crisis like that, like Richard mentioned. And this year is no different. We're going to raise money for that. So all the basket raffles, those monies go toward the relief fund.
We do eye screening for all of the children in Oneiwok. And then last year we also learned how to start doing hearing testing too. So this year we did eye testing and hearing testing for all the children in the village.
Mm-hmm. You're really living up to the motto, we serve, right?
We serve.
Really are, you know, promoting your hometown and everything. What excites you the most about Saturday and people coming to Oneiwok, perhaps for the first time, Alicia?
Well, I mean, the Hobo Hotel, it really is a really, really, really unique thing. I mean, just to see the people's names carved into the walls and the drawings and things, it really is neat, you know, just to think of what that person's, like, you know, year was like or life was like on the roads. I think it's a really special part of history. It's not something that you can go anywhere and find. So, you know, I think it is really, really special. So I am so excited that the building, you know, looks the way it does now. I mean, the amount of work that we've put into it and how nice it looks now is incredible. And I'm just excited to get to share the history of it with people and kids, and to just teach as much information as we can about, you know, the building and the history of it.
Right. I think it's important, especially for the young people, to know about what went on during the Depression and the hard times that people had. Right?
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, they'll also see the kindness and generosity in the people's hearts then, and see, too, that they're still kind and generous people now. And, you know, maybe people can learn from that, too, and go on and be more generous and kind, you know, in their lives in the future. So,
Richard, are you going to breathe a sigh of relief when it gets actually set down in the, on the foundation on Saturday?
I never thought that it would become such a big deal. You know, I just wanted to save the building, but, you know, with the help of these two and other people in town, it's just become, it's kind of taken on a life of its own. And that's really exciting to see.
Yeah, you guys have done it well. Julie, anything else that you want to add today?
Well, just come on down on Saturday and join in the festivities and the fun and moving. Yeah, in moving the building. Donate whatever you can. If it's $10, if it's $100, we'll take anything. I mean, obviously, it's going to take some more monies to keep it going once it's there. Obviously, we've got the floor to keep going with. There's going to be a wood floor, which is kind of rough wood from Richard's farm. We got, of course, the lighting is paid for, but just a lot of things, decorating around the ice outside, probably a bench or two, just decorated up, flower beds, things like that. So we want to make it a destination for people to come and see Waniwok for the first time, or, you know, for those people that grew up in Waniwok. Some of them didn't even know about the history of the things we've been talking about today, and they're revitalized. Oh, we've got to see this. We've got to be a part of this. So it's just bringing a lot of energy to our folks, and, you know, come on down and join in the fun with us and be a part of everything. And Lions, too. I mean, we're just always looking for help, and we'll put you to work if you wanted to, you know, pitch in and help with that day and any other time, too. We're always open for new members and things. So it's a very important group to us. We're very happy to help our community.
Great. Well, you all have done a great job representing today, and makes us want to go to Waniwok Saturday. It starts at 10, but any time of the year, right? So lots of things to see and do. Thanks for joining us today. Julie Ott, Richard Kilmer, Alicia Cosnahan joining us. And all roads lead to Waniwok, not only this Saturday, but through the year, or down the 400 bike trail as well.